everybody. This is Heath from Cold Heart Slag.
And two.
Filling in. Yep, and Tim and JD. Lori's not here, though, because she's the intelligent one out of the four of us. Yeah, she's sleeping, too. Anyway, this is Heath from Cold Heart Slag, filling in for Brian. Shut up, JD. It's 12:48 at night. This is Heath filling in for Brian Kilby. We've got a pretty cool show for you lined up this week.
Not really.
That's
pretty cool.
Shut up, JD. Show no way. Okay. Anyway, I'll be doing a segment on tips for buying toys at BotCon, and
hit fast forward if you want to.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll be doing a segment on tips for buying toys at BotCon, and then we'll be playing part one of When Continents Collide, yet another Transformers audio story child. Book thing. Yes, starring Mumra as Megatron and Lion-O as Soundwave. Or maybe not. Anyway, after that we'll be doing an ad for Flame War Central. There's a,
if nothing else, there's listen to the ad.
Okay. Okay, so anyway, yeah, the link will be posted on the main site. And then finally, JD will wrap up this week's show with a toy review of, Battle Unicron.
Corn.
Battle Unicorn. Okay.
Unlike
anyway. Anyway, yeah. On to my tips for buying toys at BotCon. Shut up, guys. Okay. Tips for buying toys at BotCon. I mainly direct this at people that have never bought anything in a BotCon dealer room before, because if you have, you've probably already figured a couple of these tricks out. Although, if you're a veteran BotCon dealer room person, I think you might just pick up a neat little tip or two in this segment. For those newbies that are going to be going to BotCon for the first time this year, congratulations. I hope to see you there. The dealer room, for lack of a better word, is a war zone. At BotCon 2000, I had a hard time walking around in the dealer room. There were so many people in there. I'd probably have to say the best dealer room I've ever seen was at BotCon 98. They're just, I don't know, there just seem to be more people there, and some of the deals just seem a little bit better to me. I don't know. Anyway, I have successfully navigated and haven't been taken to the cleaners too badly at two different BotCon dealer rooms. And so I'm here to pass on some of the tips I've learned from this war zone to pass on to you, the ever-so-faithful TF consumer. Okay, first tip, BotCon morning. Whenever they open the doors to the whole convention for the first time, make a couple of laps around the dealer room before you buy anything. Reason I say this is it's real easy to walk up to a table, see that Sunstreaker that you had your heart set on buying at BotCon, and saying, you know, he's asking a hair much for it, but you know what, it's here, it's now, he's got it, I'll take it. And then you buy it, and you walk down five tables, and there's another dealer selling the same condition Sunstreak you're looking for, like $30 cheaper. You know, we've all done it, and I'm here to save you guys the trouble. So make two or three laps around the dealer room, and also, this does two things. First of all, you get a rough idea of kind of how much who is selling for what, you know, and another thing is, I'm always making note of where all the reputable companies are. You know, we all know Joel from Big Bad Toy Store. I don't know if he's going to be at BotCon this year or not. But, you know, Joel, let's see here. How about Rugby Starbase? They were at BotCon last year. Digital Toys was at BotCon a couple years ago. I don't know if they're making an appearance this year. But these are all companies that we know. Most of us have bought from them. We know that they're not going to mess us over. So make kind of a note of what company is set up at what table, because then you know where all the good buys are going to be held at. Once you've made two or three laps and you get a rough idea of who's selling what, then it's time to start going to each table and wheeling and dealing for your favorite Transformer. The next thing to keep in mind is it is amazing how each table can just miraculously cause a toy to appear. You got to keep in mind, whenever a dealer puts out their toys for BotCon morning, they're only putting out about 50 to 60% of what they actually have. They're keeping a lot of the really crown jewel toys in the back room or out in the van, something of that nature. So if you walk up to a toy store or a toy dealer there at BotCon and they don't have that Power Master Optimus Prime you're looking for, wait about a half hour. And if they don't produce one, somebody else who didn't have one 15, 20 minutes ago will just miraculously wind up pulling one out of nowhere. So keep that in mind. Another thing to do is whenever you go up to a dealer, we'll say that they've got a Devastator that you're really, really interested in having, but it's just hair more than you'd care to pay for it. Here's what you do. You get that person's business card. Every dealer at BotCon more than likely is affiliated with some website if they don't run their own website for selling toys, and they'll have a business card with a URL. Get their business card, flip it over, write down the toy they have that you want and how much they're asking for it right now. Check back with that URL in about a month and you would be amazed that that toy is about 30% less than what it was in the BotCon dealer room. So keep that in mind also. Another thing to do is don't be embarrassed to leave the dealer room if you're getting a headache from all the numbers being thrown at you. The dealer room can sometimes be kind of like a used car lot. You go in there and you just have all these numbers being thrown past you and you're told that, you know, act now or this toy will be sold pretty soon or you'll never find a buy like this at another table. Well, yes and no. You know, I used to major in math and my eyes would still glaze over when all these numbers are getting thrown at me because my mind just can't tabulate numbers that fast. So if you need to go get your drink of water, let your head clear, fine. Come back in the room ready to go. Something else to keep in mind is, like I said, some of these dealer rooms can be kind of like used car lots because the guys behind the counter know exactly what they're doing and they're going to want to make you want to buy this toy right now because they want you to think that it won't be there in 15 minutes. Well, play back with them. Give you a good example. At BotCon 98, I went up and I was looking at a particular dealer's table, and he happened to have a pretty good set of all six Constructicons loose. He wasn't making a point to sell them as a group. He was just selling six fairly complete Constructicons loose. Well, a guy walked up and was like, well, how much you want for them Constructicons? Well, he wanted like $15 a piece for them. He's like, man, that's a hair more than I had kind of anticipated on spending. And then he says, I'll tell you what, I'll buy all six Constructicons if you knock $3 a piece off each toy. And the dealer was, he reciprocated. As long as you don't ask anything that is just absolutely unreasonable, the dealers will usually work with you. Another thing to keep in mind, you know, if you've got your eyes set on just, you know, one toy, and it's, you know, $5 to $10 more than what maybe you'd anticipated, just bring that up. Just say, you know, I would really like to buy this Predaking, but I don't know, man, 70's just too much. I mean, you know, if you had it for maybe, you know, 60, man, I'd take it. Most guys, again, if you aren't saying anything unreasonable, they'll work with you. Another thing to keep in mind, and some people take a buttload of money to buy, kind of buy toys with, and they'll be spending a couple $100 per table. If you're one of these people, here's something to keep in mind. Dealers usually, if your total purchase comes out to say $150 to $200, they'll usually either toss in something for free as long as it's around $10 to maybe $25, or if you point out, say, you know what, I've got my $150 worth of merchandise here, and I notice up there on the wall for $80, you've got a mint on sealed card, Ravage and Frenzy. I'll take that if you shave $20 off the entire price. You know, I mean, here your purchase is totaling out at over $200. They're usually going to reciprocate when you're buying in bulk like that. The last one, this is kind of a rule I made up. I call this the 30-30 rule. Basically, we'll take a toy that books in one of the toy magazines, Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review or Toy Fair. We'll take a toy that books at $75, okay? You find this toy. You know in your head that it books at $75. Well, when you're at BotCon, you know, you're able to actually pick the toy up and look at it. You can see in your hands whether it's missing accessories, whether or not it's missing stickers, if it's got the instruction book, the tech spec, whatever it is you want. During the year when we're buying stuff over the internet, you got to worry about whether or not this toy store is going to run out of this merchandise. You got to worry if it gets damaged in shipping. You got to worry about if the auction on eBay that you're looking at is just some Transmetal 2 Megatron that someone's done a color swap on in Adobe Photoshop. You have to worry about these things, you know, because every now and then you read where somebody got burned pretty bad, bidding and being the high bidder at $200 on a toy that wound up being just crap. So the ability to actually hold the toy in my hand, I consider to be a value. Okay? So here we've got this toy that books at $75. Now $30 more than that would be $105. 30% more than that would be $97.50. $97.50 is less than $105. So I wouldn't mind paying around $97.50 for a toy that normally books for $75, because I consider the ability to actually pick the toy up, look at it, touch it, maybe transform it. Some dealers are kind of picky on you transforming it, because theoretically you're degrading the value of the toy because you're using it. But some dealers are cool with letting you transform it. But just add $30 or 30%, whichever one's less, is what I consider to be kind of the dollar value you can assign to the ability to hold the toy in your hand and not have to just take somebody's word for it that you're buying the toy from over the internet. Two last tips for you. First of all, you'd be surprised at how fast all those prices go down the last hour of BotCon. At BotCon 2000, I was in the dealer room about 15 minutes before the auction, or before the dealer room closed, and people were slashing prices down. I was with Gordy from WheezeBucket.net, and me and I think he went in and bought two or three Beast Wars figures he had his heart set on. I wound up walking away with the whole thing for like $25. It was like two or three figures. I think one of them was even a Transmetal Rampage in the box. I mean, he got a good deal. But you know, these dealers, they want to get rid of the stuff because if you think about it, it's cheaper for them to wind up screwing themselves out of $10, $15, $20 on the toy than it would be to have to pay money to ship all the stuff that didn't sell back to wherever they came from to set up in the dealer room. So keep in mind, if you see a toy and you don't think it'd be something anybody pick up, wait till about the last 30 minutes to an hour of BotCon, and that toy will come down in price, I guarantee you. And if it doesn't come in price, walk up and say, you know what, I'll take this off your hands. And then, you know, rattle off a price that's like three-quarters what the actual price is. And you'd be surprised to see what you could walk away from for a fairly cheap price. My last tip for you guys is traveler's checks. I've never found a dealer room in a BotCon that does not take traveler's checks. And, I mean, they're a godsend. For those of you who don't know how traveler's checks works, here's how you do. You go to whatever bank you bank at, and you take out a couple $100 in traveler's checks. Usually in 20s, it'll be fine. You look through those traveler's checks, and you write down on a separate sheet of paper the check number on all those traveler's checks. And you keep that sheet of paper separate from wherever you keep your checks. Keep it in a different suitcase, use it as a bookmark in a book, someplace you're not going to lose it. Okay? Then, in the event that you should lose the traveler's checks, or we'll say they get stolen, you just go back to your bank, report, say, hey, look, these traveler's check, you know, here's the check numbers, these traveler's checks were lost or stolen or whatever, and you should get reimbursed for those. But keep that in a separate location, because if you keep some traveler's checks and the traveler's checks get stolen, you don't have any traveler's check numbers to report back to the bank. But traveler's checks are very, very good at BotCon. Taxis usually accept them. Most restaurants around BotCon usually accept them. It's a good fail-safe way to carry cash on you without having to worry about anything getting stolen or anything. So those are your tips for buying in the BotCon dealer room. I trust all of you have a good time. Oh, that reminds me of my last tip. Have fun. Sometimes when you're in the BotCon dealer room and you're having numbers and deals slung past you at the speed of light, it's real easy to just forget that you're there for fun and feel that if you don't make the right decision that you're going to be the laughing stock of the ATT until BotCon 2002. Well, maybe you do wind up being a laughing stock of ATT or the AllSpark or something. But you know what? You're there to have fun. You're not there to wig out. You're not there to break down because do I buy Ford Max or do I buy a Box Sunstreaker? There will be other times. There are toys I will probably never get because I just either don't have the money for them when they're available or I just can't find them. So don't wig out. You're in the dealer room to have fun. So have fun. Well, those are my tips on buying toys at BotCon. If anybody has any questions or comments about concerning my tips, you can email me at nightlife@coldhardslag.com. If you find my tips useful, I wouldn't mind getting an email or maybe even coming and finding me at BotCon and letting me know that you enjoyed my tips. If you have any tips you'd like to add, by all means let me know. I always have my ears open for extra tips to make my BotCon experience even that much cooler. I'm going to try and come on the show between now and BotCon and just give little tips about little things here and there that you can do to have the best time possible at BotCon 2001. Well, those have been my tips for buying toys at BotCon. Now stay tuned for part one of When Continents Collide.
Hi, everybody. This is your Transformers read-along book. Every time you hear this sound, it means it's time to turn the page in your storybook. Now, if you are ready, we will start the story, When Continents Collide. Don't forget to turn the page every time you hear the sound. At first, the sound was barely perceptible, and the herd of caribou paid no attention. They were grazing on the small plants growing near the isolated pump relay station on the Alaska pipeline. But the sound grew, and with it, what was only a speck on the horizon became a colossus that dominated the vast northern sky. It was a hovercraft oil transporter that was bigger than 200 supertankers put together. High on the command bridge of the transporter stood Megatron, the evil Decepticon leader, observing the docking with his cold, stony stare, and realizing full well how valuable this oil transporter, stolen from the Earthlings, would be to him.
Stabilize the ship, then shut down power!
Megatron growled to Soundwave, his communications aid. Huge pilings emerged from the belly of the hovercraft and drove their metal footpads through the surface ooze down to the frozen soil below.
Stabilized now and shutting down power,
Soundwave said.
Can the idle chatter?
Megatron snarled.
I've got the attitude sensors.
The big fans revolved to a stop.
Well, where's the contact? Where's that pathetic carbon-based slime who helped us steal the transporter and who has now agreed to aid us in siphoning off tons of this Prudhoe-based crude? I don't know why I'm bothering. I can't wait! Soundwave, activate the laser auger for a direct tap into the line itself.
Master, I think your original reasoning is still the most valid plan of action.
My original reasoning?
Yes, mighty Megatron. By bribing this Earthling, we will have an ally, one who will allow us to return here repeatedly and drain load after load of oil without anyone else being wiser.
You know, sometimes my cunning amazes even me. Continue operations as planned.
Yes, Master.
Giant winches ground powerfully. A gangway clanged open, and a ramp extended down to the ground. A huge loading hose snaked out of its port and was grabbed by two Decepticons who coupled the end of it to a station outlet valve. The Earthling who stepped out of the relay station to check on the operation glanced briefly at the transporter, then turned and went back inside.
That fool is valuable to us only so long as he is useful,
said Megatron after the man had disappeared.
Yes, Master.
And when he is no longer...
I understand, Master.
What worthless trinket was it that induced this betrayal of his people?
The desire for a new Jeep, mighty Megatron.
As that very Jeep was being unloaded from the transporter, the Decepticons were totally unaware that they were being infiltrated by an undercover Autobot spy. It was Hound, in his earthly mode as a Jeep.
Increase the flow rate of the oil, Soundwave.
Megatron snarled.
But, Master, if we...
I have no more patience! I want it all! Now! Faster! Faster! My warriors need every drop of that lovely black juice to bathe their gears and fuel their engines. Total domination of the universe cannot wait on fools!
Yes, mighty Megatron!
As the enraged Earthling rushed out of the relay station, waving frantically to try to stop the speed-up, Megatron roared with laughter, then flattened him with an iron stun field from his fusion cannon. farther south, in Valdez, Alaska, the terminus of the pipeline, the oil flow slowed to a trickle, then stopped. The oil company immediately sent out emergency signals, which were monitored by Prowl at Autobot Field Headquarters.
Chief, the Decepticons have finally broken cover!
Prowl informed Optimus Prime, the brave and wise Autobot leader.
Excellent work, Prowl! Where are they?
Somewhere along the Alaska pipeline.
That's the best you can do? The pipeline is hundreds of miles long!
With the sketchy information at hand, Chief, I'm lucky to... Wait a minute. I'm receiving something. Yes, it's Hound's signal, coming in strong and clear.
Above the Arctic Circle, the enormous oil transporter skimmed swiftly northward over the ice, its hover fans thundering and throwing up white plumes of snow. Skyfire, the Autobot superjet that appeared high in the slate gray sky, reported its sighting of the Decepticon hovercraft to headquarters.
Commence attack!
Optimus Prime ordered over the command frequency. The superjet dove quickly, catching the Decepticons by surprise and unleashing a hail of heat-seeking missiles and null rays.
That's the Autobot junkie!
Megatron raged.
Retaliate immediately!
Megatron brought the full force of his terrible fusion cannon to bear, but Skyfire managed to avoid every blast.
Do something!
Screamed Megatron.
Wait!
Soundwave yelled excitedly.
According to their transmissions, Mighty Megatron, the jet has only enough fuel to remain over the target for a few more minutes!
But those few minutes were long enough for Skyfire to release another barrage of missiles, null rays, and explosions. They ripped through the transporter from stem to stern, its giant fans locked up tight and fused into useless lumps of metal. The huge ship bellied in hard on the ice.
May rust attack every joint in their miserable metal bodies!
Megatron roared.
Better abandon ship, Master!
Soundwave urged. Outnumbered, and with common sense the better part of valor, the Decepticons prepared to flee their fire-consumed transporter.
Activate the hyper thrust afterburners!
Megatron ordered.
Fire!
It was a foolish consumption of precious fuel, but necessary for escape from their Autobot pursuers for the moment.
Survive as trans fans of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can message Flame War Central.
Hi everybody, this is Susan Blue coming to you from coldhardslag.com, the best.
Hey, this is JD, also known as Unicron Spawn, coming to you with a review of Battle Unicorn. First of all, I'm going to talk about the beast mode. First thing that kind of strikes your eye is the translucent plastic blue, which is really cool. Also, the main, which has some orange and red vacuumized metal, which is really sweet, and a point that I definitely like. The gimmick in this mode is the headbutt action, which is lame. Really lame. But it... Basically, you turn the knob on the shoulder, and the head goes down. It doesn't do anything that interesting. But at least the beast mode looks cool. I mean, it looks like a unicorn. It's got a consistent style and design. Lots of spikes. Almost puts me in the mind of kind of what I would give the image of, like a Trojan horse or something like that. Moving on to the transformation. The transformation doesn't really get too tricky. The hard part is getting the pieces in the right place and enough to where you don't lose everything. As soon as you separate the back part of the unicorn, you lose the axe. The other tricky part is getting the shoulder pads in the right place. They keep wanting to fall out. They're not held in real well. So the tricky part is learning how to transform him gently enough that you don't set the shoulder pads flying, since one of them is locked around the turning joint for the headbutting action that is completely useless. Moving into the robot mode, really nice. Once again, I feel like there's a consistent design and style. Sort of in the Beast Machines idea, you don't see too much of the beast mode in the robot mode. They tend to be two separate entities to where you don't feel like there's animal parts sticking out all over the place. He actually gives me the impression of a knight. The feet and the guards, and it looks like he's wearing a helmet, which is really cool to put you in sort of a medieval fantasy idea. The weapon's really nice. It's a large pulled axe. Can't necessarily wield it very well, but it does look very large and menacing, so it's really cool. Overall, the colors are good. I like the gray. It's dark. It's not a real bright toy, but again, it works for it. It works for this figure. The one thing I do have to comment on is I think this is one of the worst named toys in a long time. So I think they could have gone for a better name, but hey, that's not necessarily part of the toy. Overall, a nice toy. A nice toy. It's good for a basic. If you can find him, pick him up. I'm going to give him 4 God Magnus thumbs up. This has been JD.
Well, everybody, that's been Radio Free Cybertron for this week. Tune in next week so that me and my friends from CHS can come back on the show and do some more stuff for Brian. Until next week, adios. Bye.